Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Don't you guys do a turn the page segment
Wednesday?
It's time to turn the page.
Turn the page Wednesday.
I don't know when I turn the page.
And then you got to turn the page real quick.
We just haven't been able to turn the page.
That's what you have to do. You got to turn the page.
I think now we all can move on.
Looking ahead to this week's opponent.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Because we need to know when to turn the page.
There I go.
Do we really want to turn the page, though?
There's a couple listeners who don't want to. They just want to hang out on the Cowboys page. They don't want to do it. But yes, we do need to do that. And so we do. On to
the Raiders!
The Raiders minus 2.5 points is how it opened, with a total of 47. It has moved a little bit since then. Spiro Dedis will be on the call. We'll be out there in Vegas, where the game will be at 1:25 local time, 3:25 our time. The last 10 Bears...
Wait, are we just going to walk past the fact that Spiro Dedis is calling the game? We're just walking past that.
Well, what would you like to do? How would you like to contextualize that further?
So now... I'm sorry, when I first got here... That was always a thing.
Like,
that's why I put it on the dock.
I know that's why you put it on the dock.
Yeah, it feels like very low on the totem pole. Like, no disrespect to Spiro Dedis, but
I mean, you
what
were
kind
clearly
of team?
Disrespecting Spiro Dedis.
I was. It's true. But right now, I was looking for the who his partners were because I
Adam Archuleta.
It's Adam Archuleta.
Lumber Bear's great.
I don't. See, my
he
perception.
Created his own hamstrings.
Did you cover him, Lawrence?
I did.
For a lot of years, it felt like Spiro Dedis was dead last on the depth chart, and you got the Spiro Dedis game. That meant that there was absolutely no respect for you. I don't think that's the case anymore. I think Spiro Dedis, just through simple longevity, has risen up to at least five. Or at most, well, five on the depth chart.
It all kind of matters on what you care about for a broadcast anyway, because I would tell you that there are networks where their one team is not my favorite.
Sure.
You know, maybe your third team is my favorite on some networks.
Okay, well, here we go. There are five total. No, you're right. Spiro's five, and he's fifth of five. So there's Nance and Romo. Then there's Eagle and Watt.
Like I was saying.
Then there's Harlan and Trent. Then there's Catalan and Charles Davis.
Like I was saying.
And then there's Spiro Dedis and Adam Archuleta. So you're right. Thank you for bringing it back out. The disrespect is real.
That 2-4 is real strong for CBS.
Yeah. Not so much at five.
Fans of it. Indeed. Anyway, here's what Ben Johnson had to say about scouting.
Really good team that we're about to face here this week. Got a lot of respect for their playmakers all across the field. I mean, defensively, obviously, it starts with Max Crosby there. I think, in my opinion, he's a top five player in this league on defense and probably doesn't get the recognition that he deserves. He's all over the place, relentless, high motor, and you got to account for him and know where he's at every single snap or else he'll get you. And he wrecks drives. That's what he does. And then they've got great team speed on that side. Those guys are flying around. Offensively, they got playmakers at every position group. Quarterback's playing at a high level.
Yeah.
I think they're the number one team in explosive plays right now on offense. And so we got our work cut out for us. And that goes without even mentioning their head coach, who, I got a ton of respect for Pete Carroll. He's been doing this for almost 30 years. whether at the college level or the NFL, and I think he only has four losing seasons. So that's a credit to who he is. The teams take his identity. They play hard. They play fast. They play physical. They fly around. And I know that he'll have this group ready to go here this week. So we got to answer that call. We're still looking for our first road win. And, you know, we have yet to obviously win two games back-to-back. And so that's huge for us and where we're going. I'll open it up from there.
Have you had any interactions with Pete Carroll?
No, I haven't. I don't have much of that tree in me. And but I do from afar. I've always respected him.
Got some of that tree in him from afar.
It's weird because it's an offense that has been productive but not effective, if that makes sense. Like, Ashton Jeanty hasn't gotten going. They can't seem to find Brock Bowers, but they'll give you all the Trey Tucker you want.
Yeah, Trey Tucker with the three touchdowns last week. Look, they can't run the ball. And it's the third straight year. 2 years ago, they were third worst in rushing. Last year, they were dead last in rushing. This year, they're third worst in rushing. They got offensive line troubles across the board, Lawrence. They allowed 12 sacks on the year. Last week, Geno Smith got sacked five times. There were eight quarterback hits. There were 26 pressures last week. 26 pressures. Geno Smith is 35. He needs a nice, comfortable pocket. The right tackle, DJ Glaze. Yeah, he drops mad tracks probably, but he can't stop decent pass rushers.
There's big donut guy.
DJ Glaze. He's both a DJ and a donut guy.
He's not a clown, though.
Von Miller.
F-A-I-L.
Von Miller shoved DJ Glaze backwards with one arm last week for one of the two sacks he gave up. Their center's the guy we wanted, Jackson Powers Johnson. And Johnson is so powered by Jackson, the Oregon kid.
They got a lot of names because you got Jackson Powers Johnson, you've got DJ Glaze.
That's right.
And you've got Jacoby Myers. So you got a law firm out there.
You got a lot of that. But what you don't have is a running game. But you mentioned Brock Bowers. Also Michael Mayer from Notre Dame. Like, they got a lot of draft picks invested in tight ends at this point.
On the other side, there's a problem.
Dude, Max is a problem.
He's a problem.
How about this? He has played a higher snap percentage of anybody than anybody in the entire NFL on defense. Last 3 years, including this year. He plays all the time. Last week, 7 tackles, 2 for loss, 1 sack. He drew 2 holding penalties. It's a damn shame he's not on a contender. Like, he's great.
He's a great player, but he also chose to get the money there.
Yes, he did.
And stay there because they believed in him. He is phenomenal, and figuring out what they're going to do against him is interesting, too, where he lines up. Since Olin said this, I've been following it, and if you want to follow, you can. Braxton Jones at home, pretty good. Braxton Jones on the road, not as good. And when you're dealing with a premier pass rusher, one of the best defensive players in the NFL, how might that affect you?
Yeah, it's a great question. Devin White, the former Buck, is their linebacker. Jermaine Pratt. Also, both of them were bad last week. The corners are good. Corners are really good on that defense.
I don't really do predictions, but can I make one?
Please do. I like it.
That place is going to sound like Chicago West.
Yeah, more than 50% Bears, you think?
I think it's a split. But I think that Bears fans have – this is the one trip that seems like the most attractive on their schedule. So I imagine that there are going to be a lot of – and there's also a lot of transplants that live in Las Vegas.
But I know a lot of people who are going.
Or close enough to Las Vegas that it's worth them making the drive from Arizona or from California.
Yeah.
So
there's a lot of Chicagoans making this trip, though, to your point.
So Bears fans might be able to help Braxton Jones out a little bit.
And Bears fans will probably go crazy if Montez Sweat gets a sack by getting past DJ Glaze. Here's Pete Carroll talking about the Bears. He's scouting the opposition.
It's a good club now. Yeah. They do have weapons, and the new staff and the way they're going about their offense seems to be highlighting what Caleb is good at. He's a very adept football player. He's a natural football player that does really well on the move and on the run and manufacturing space and finding his way to get in and out of the pocket and all of that. He's very dangerous, and the sooner you play him, the better. Because you give him some more time, he's going to really be an amazing player. So we're up against it. Receivers are really good. Mm-hmm. Tailback's really good. Tight end's good. They're developing their offensive line into their style. So it's a difficult opponent for sure.
And historically, they remind me of a lot of your teams rooted in defense. They really are a team. The history of the program is they like to get after with their linebackers who go sideline to sideline, sweat up front. They got some players that can cause havoc.
Yeah, they really do have some good football players. Edmonds is really good. He had a huge game last week. I don't know if they're ready for the Monsters of the Midway kind of thing yet, but they're darn good. And this game is going to give them a great shot in the arm. You know, with the new program, they finally get their win and get rolling. They'll be at their best this week.
Well, can you tell us about Ben Johnson and his style coming over from Detroit, what you've seen so far?
Very innovative, creative guy, willing to take chances on style of play. He had very balanced attack in running pass and by their situations. You know, he's reading his notes after the game. You know, he knows what he's doing. So we don't see a lot of holes there. You know, he's a very, very adept coach. And so he's reaching the quarterback, making sense. He's got weapons to go to. We got our hands full.
It's important to remember Pete Carroll wanted this job. He wanted the Bears job.
So you know he studied Caleb before that interview, right? Or before the talking.
I will say, though, I don't know about you, and I know that this goes against our upbringing and our sensibilities. If I look at where the money is on the Bears, I would tell you that they are an offensive team, not a defensive
team. Dude, yeah, that guy was going off his 46 defense roots, that guy. Sounded on the older side, is trying to appeal to Pete. Yeah, you know, it was kind of a.
Well, I love that Pete was like, it's not really what they do, but it's all good.
Also, when Pete says, yeah, their tailbacks are really good, I'm like, no, they're not.
Well, DeAndre Swift made some very big blocks in the game.
He's good at that.
He is.
He's really good at that.
So that's what's going to happen Sunday out in the desert.
Page has been turnt.
It's been turnt. Why don't we take a look at what's going on in the north? Green Bay is going to Dallas on Sunday night.
Good luck, Matt Eberflus. Let's see.
After a game that they felt like they should have won, and Matt LaFleur's mad at his team for out here talking about going undefeated this season.
It's a Micah Parsons revenge game is what it is,
It's
though.
A Micah Parsons revenge game, and here's what LaFleur had to say about that.
Certainly, I think when you look at their offense, they're an explosive offense, and they do a good job both in the run game and the pass game. I think Dak's playing at a really high level. They've got playmakers on offense, and then defensively with Eberflus. I mean, I've got as much respect for him as almost anybody in this league, just in terms of his ability to get guys to go out and play. Number one, they play sound defense, but they're in their infant stages right now. You know, just a new scheme, and it takes time for all that to gel and come together. So hopefully it doesn't gel this week for them. But, and then you look at their special teams, and I think they've got all their specialists are Pro Bowl caliber type players. So it's going to be a good challenge.
How's Kenny Clark look for them?
He looks really good, like I would expect, like he did when he was here. So, yeah, he's going to be a handful.
You had a conversation with Micah this week about what he's walking into and how has he been this week, just with everything that this week entails.
No, I think every game you got to approach it the same way, whether it's week one of the regular season or you happen to get in the playoffs or the Super Bowl, whatever. You got to come in with the same mindset, and it's the focus is always, yeah. Obviously, you got to know what you're going against, but the focus always comes back to us and what we got to do, and how we need to go out there and perform, and the focus and concentration that we need to have. It's less about those guys.
If players though, Matt, try to, when they're playing their old team, try to do too much, and is that a concern or no?
No, I'm not worried about that.
Am I remembering this right? Did LaFleur and Eberflus go to a Bulls-Bucks game?
Marquette.
It was a Marquette basketball game.
That's exactly what I pictured when he said he had as much respect for him. I was picturing the gin and tonics underneath their chairs.
That's right. They were drinking gin and tonics, having themselves a good time.
That is absolutely
what I pictured.
Yeah, but you know, Bears did play Green Bay tough twice last week. The Lions host Cleveland on Sunday at noon. Dan Campbell and the Lions were awesome on Monday night in Baltimore. Campbell was asked if that win was a signature Dan Campbell style victory against the Ravens.
You said that you wanted your guys to win different ways, but like the old Tommy Mansky baseball tapes, I guess if there's a Dan Campbell how to coach, how to win a football game, is that right there? The MO, is that the DVD?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I guess it would be pretty close to that. But it was also, this is the type of game. This is the type of game that was needed for this opponent. Not everyone is going to always be the same. You'd love to say, you know, it's always going to it's going to be that type, and you got to play this way. But all of them are different, and you know, some games it takes more explosives. You know, you got to get more explosives than it does just true groundwork. You know, the ground sets it up, and defensively you got to play a little different. But it was what was needed against this team for this opponent. And I thought the guys handled it perfectly.
After a performance like that, especially with all the talk on the outside about the lack of sacks and the pass rush.
Well, I mean, we know what we got here. We don't need, I mean, anybody telling us what we do or don't have or, you know. I mean, I thought you were going to ask me about motioning today. I felt like we... But we feel good about it, man. We feel good about it, you know. And look, it takes everybody doing their job. And our guys did that, so it was good.
Well, he ain't forgot.
Oh, man, that's amazing.
By the way, I'd sign up right now. If you told me Lions-Ravens is your Super Bowl, I'd sign up right now for it. That sounds like fun.
Yeah, I'd like to see the playoffs first. Call me crazy. I'd like to see some of the matchups along the way. You know, so I don't want to sign up for it just yet.
The Vikings, and we're going to have a dilemma out in the desert on this one. The Vikings are taking on Pittsburgh in Ireland. The kickoff is 8:30 Chicago time, which means it's 6:30 Vegas time, which means Stadium Swim is going to have a bunch of bleary-eyed people out there watching football, and this show might be a group of them.
See you in the water.
Here's what Kevin O'Connell had to say about adjusting and playing in Ireland with our friend Paul Allen.
Irish food, how familiar are you? Have you gone down the road on it yet?
You know what? I should probably be more familiar, but I'm about to get more familiar this week. You and I both.
Yeah, you got Irish stew. You have a boiled bacon and cabbage. But I uncovered this gem this morning. Black and white pudding. Okay, now pudding in Ireland is not a dessert. It's a variety of sausages. White pudding is sausage fat with oats, breadcrumbs, and spices to make it black pudding. You add blood to the mix. So what do you think of that? That sounds good enough to eat, doesn't it?
When in Rome,
they have a dish called Goody. It's called Goody. It's boiled bread in milk with sugar and spices, and supposedly it's designed for children or the elderly, which means I got something to eat when I get over there.
We are not going to Cleveland in December. We are not going to Pittsburgh in November. We are not ultimately looking at this as anything more than a great opportunity to go find a way to win a football game in some circumstances we know well, specifically with the first game. Yeah, we're going to Ireland for the first time, but we've left on Thursdays before, gone out to Tottenham Stadium and gotten a win and come back and moved throughout our season from there. The difference is we're going to stay and we're going to have a normal week of preparation once we've adjusted completely to the time, and our players should be able to truly, knowing we've got the bye upon our arrival back to the United States, we absolutely will look at this as a great opportunity. And how about a chance to, in a day and age where once you get into the season it is so difficult to, you know, find unique ways to team build, how about a chance to go away? It's summer camp in a lot of ways for 10 days, and hopefully you and the crew there with K-Fan, you guys can do the same, man. I expect to hear a report about the chemistry of the crew being sky high coming off this trip.
Well, that'd be great.
O'Connell's awesome.
He definitely doesn't want to eat, though.
No, well, I mean, good luck keeping that team together when they have to deal with black and white pudding. I mean, that's clearly going to be woo.
So if I'm reading this right, three of the four teams in the North go on bye. after Sunday.
Except Minnesota?
Except for the Lions.
Oh, no. Well, Minnesota's got two games in a row out there.
Oh, that's right.
And then the bye.
Then the bye. Okay, so it's the Lions in Minnesota. The Packers and Bears go on bye after Sunday.
At week five. Wow.
It's too early.
Yeah, I agree it is too early. You got me thinking about it. The Commanders and Falcons get Ian Eagle. The Chargers and the Giants get Kevin Harlan.
Yeah.
The Ravens and the Chiefs get Nance and Romo. The Saints and the Buffalo Bills get Andrew Catalan and Charles Davis. And then the Bears and the Raiders get Spiro Dides. But
like,
then,
like I said, CBS is 2 through 4 pretty strong.
Well, then number 6, Beth Mowins and Ross Tucker is Titans at Texans. So that's the number 6 crew.
There's a game you don't want to call. Goodness gracious.
Congratulations.
Remember when CJ Stroud was giving Caleb advice?
Yeah, not
I
anymore.
Saw that graphic. Like all the numbers since that moment.
I've been trying to tell y'all.
What have you been trying to tell us?
I've been trying
I can't
to
keep track.
I've been trying to tell y'all that something happened
to CJ Stroud.
And they figured out that blitzing him is a way to get to him. And if you just look at what he did last year, and it has come into this season, he is not the same quarterback anymore.
But someone had the side by side, Caleb and Stroud, since that moment, and Caleb has, like, you know, leapfrogged him in all the offensive categories.
That's why I didn't mind Caleb looking at him like, really? That's enough from the advice from you,
I mean,
sir.
We're talking about the NFC Offensive Player of the Week, you know?
I mean, we were also talking about the Offensive Rookie of the Year, but that was...
Yeah, one of them's reigning. The reigning NFC Offensive Player
You're
of the
damn
Week.
Damn right, Tanny. You damn right.
What have you
right.
done for me lately?
Well, I mean, CJ has not done a lot.
And not done a lot.
For a long time now.
Bears got a shot to go 2-2. We'll touch on it the rest of the week. Of course, the page has been turned, but if you want to turn back and just live in the other game as a listener, we can't stop you.
Well, we're going to ask Alex Brown about it, and then we'll ask him about some of the other stuff. And there was an anniversary that we need to ask him about, too.
Really?
I don't think he's going to like that question.
I look forward to you asking it.
I'll ask it. He knows I ask it with love. And quite honestly, he was the only one that was trying on that play. But anyway, when we come back, since Spiegs was on middays, he got a chance to talk with Nico. And Nico talked about Ian. And I heard it. So then I talked with Ian about Nico. We're going to hear these two guys talk about their relationship as players in a lineup together. It's fascinating stuff. You need to hear it. It's next here on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Well, I've been waiting to say, and the stars are Spiegel and Holmes. Chicago.
Afternoons on The Score.
No Bears.
That's right, Nico. Your team by default, the Bears.
Yesterday, he said that he'll be rooting for the Bears over the Raiders.
Oh, his team, because they moved.
He's a jilted Raiders fan. They left when he was a kid. Just a little pissed off, but really just a little.
I like that there's still a little bit of meatball with Nico when it comes to the Bay Area. Like, that's still a thing for him. Like, whether he's talking about the Raiders or the A's, like, there's still a little bit of,
yeah,
I have been deserted by the teams that I grew up loving.
There's a sense of justice and fairness about Nico. That he gets strong-minded about things that he thinks are a certain way. I loved to talk with him in person yesterday with Mark Grody and Marshall Harris, And as we asked him a question and he mentioned something about Ian Happ, I felt the need to follow up because I knew you guys were going to talk to Ian. It's been a very cool thing on Tuesdays the last few years to have Nico and Ian, who have a great relationship. So I love that as you were prepping for your show, our show, with Layla, you heard Nico talking about Ian, knowing full well that you had Ian coming up. No, you got it, right? Set it up. You tell us.
No, I just wanted to share that we could go right to it. I couldn't have said it better myself. This was Nico talking about the lineup construction, and those two guys are the two guys that have been here the longest. They know each other the best out of this group. So this is Nico talking about he and Hap being 1-2 or 2-3 in a lineup.
Yeah, I mean, I also want to, you know, the flip side of hitting first or second is you're also on base for the best hitters in your lineup, and you know, the ability to steal a base in front of your best hitters or score runs. So you just want to be a part of runs, whether you're scoring them or knocking them in and being in the middle of that. It is fun hitting back-to-back with Ian when we have, just because I feel like throughout the years we've kind of paired nicely together with our skill sets. And, you know, we're very different players, but I think complement each other well. So we've just had a good feeling for things over the years, the two of us, and I like when we hit back-to-back. A switch hitter, so he matches up well with everybody, but he's been more, you know, slug and on base based, and I've been more contact and just hits, and so I also feel like he's got a good feel for when I want to run and is able to take pitches and be comfortable getting deeper into counts when I need to do that, and then just straight up just kind of memories and randomness and things that we've had. And you know, it used to be we would hit 8th and 9th, like in 2020 some, and even when I was called up, I remember being on base for some of his homers, so just good memories.
That part where he's talking about stealing bases, I think is really important, because there are guys that don't like it, and you've got to figure out whether or not the batter behind you is okay with, one, when you take off inside of a count, two, whether you're going to mess around with the pitcher a little bit, because you can catch some of that out of, and you don't want it to be distracting. Notoriously, like, there are players that have been like, I don't want guys stealing. And if you are going to steal, then steal on the first pitch of the at-bat so I can concentrate on the at-bat and not what you're doing out there.
But you know how Ian is at the plate. That's why it's such a good fit. Like, Ian likes to take his time, likes to see a lot of pitches. And even more so when he's got a guy who can run. So you're prepping and you heard that.
Prepping and I heard that. So we had it down as a thing that we were going to ask Ian about. And it was good to be back with Ian, because on the midday show with Dan and I, like, we talk to him every week. And he's a very thoughtful guy. I think he and I are wired very similarly. So it was comfortable to kind of get back into a conversation with him. And this is what he said when we told him about Nico. Nico was on middays today, and he said that he really likes when you guys hit back-to-back because of your different skill sets. How would you describe the two of you in a lineup together?
I love it. I think we've done it for a long time. We did it quite a bit in 2020 as well. And at the beginning of that year, we were hitting like 8-9 together, or 7-8 together. And it was, you know, right after we had lived together, and we joked about our friends, Dakota and Zach, that were hosting the comp with us, joked about, you know, us making stuff happen when we're next to each other. And then we got a nice stretch from 21 to kind of through 23 of getting to do that quite a bit, whether he was leading off or hitting two hole and I was hitting three. I've been so lucky to hit behind him quite a bit. And he's one of the best base runners in baseball. And take away the stolen bases, just his ability to score from first on a double, his ability to score from second on a single. I've just gotten to watch that so much. And I have a pretty patient at bat. So when he's on base ahead of me, you know, I give him chances to take bases quite a bit, because I do tend to have longer ABs, and then I know if I hit a ball in the gap, he's going to score. And you saw that in Cincy against Lodolo. Like, I hit a double with there was nobody out or one out, and it was he's flying around the bases, great read on the ball. He's just so good at that, and so he's right. Our skill sets complement each other. Just, you know, his ability to get on base or run the bases, and, you know, kind of the patient at bat and the chance for an extra base hit. We've just been really productive when we're hitting around each other. So it's been one of my favorite things over the last 6 years. Five or six years we've been together.
That is outstanding. The two of them talking about each other. And think about it. If you're watching that game last night, Nico scores from first on an Ian Happ double to the gap.
Yeah. Ian's had a pretty strong September, by the way.
I know he has. But like, Nico, did you, if you're watching last night, Nico screams after he rounds second. They showed the replay and Boog just laughed. It was an awesome laugh because Nico just screams and Boog going to break is like, we should just have a camera on Nico when he's running the bases because he's so much fun to watch.
Well, we're both fans of it. And since we have Nico on every week, we talk to him a lot about this. The Cubs is a team. And Nico is at the front of that. I don't mean just fast, because they've got guys that are fast. They're good at running the bases. They're really, what I think is striking about the 2025 Cubs is both base running offensively and defensively. The idea that you have guys that are good at first to third, second to home, first to home, in case of balls hitting the gap.
Yeah.
And you have a pitching staff that thrives on getting people out on the bases, that they take a lot of pride in it. They lead the league in it. It's fascinating to me that those two things are synced up. Like, ideally, like if we use football to talk about baseball, the offense and the defense are completely synced up on this one thing that the team does very well. It's very cool to see it. It's one of those fundamental things that we talk about, but we don't give enough love to. So hearing these guys talk about that
is really cool.
Is great.
So this brings to mind one of my favorite trivia questions, favorite baseball trivia questions, because the idea of Happ driving in Nico a lot, I have it in front of me. It is the two players, the batter has driven in the base runner with an RBI more than any pair of teammates in the history of baseball. The leaders were George Brett and Willie Wilson of the Kansas City Royals in the 80s, that Brett had driven in Willie Wilson the most. And then that record was broken. And if you're out there, I bet you it will be intuitive once you think of it. What batter has driven in his teammate as a base runner more than any pair of teammates in the history of the game?
Stanton driving in Judge?
That's a fun answer, but no.
A-Rod driving in Ichiro?
No. It's another good thought.
Anyone hitting behind Ricky?
No. Ricky not in the same place long enough. These are two teammates who were together a long time, and one of them consistently hit either just in front of the other or like first and third. I think that's how they hit for most of their career. One of them was leadoff. The other was a three-hitter, and they played together for a long, long time.
No, I don't want to jump the line here. Alex, you got one?
No, please jump the line because nothing's coming to mind.
Johnny Damon, Manny Ramirez?
No, that's fun.
Ozzie Albies and Ronald Acuna?
No. This is a little bit older, but a long, long time together. I think both Hall of Famers. I think they are. Yeah, they are.
Wow. Frank Thomas and Robin Ventura?
No, that's fun, though, because I could see that, one hitting in front of the other. Let's see if a texter has it. Looking. No, nobody there yet.
What decade?
90s into the 2000s.
Lofton and Ramirez?
No, it's good. It's the right era. They played against a local in the World Series.
Bagwell and Biggio?
Jeff Bagwell has driven in Craig Biggio more than any one man has driven in another in the history of the game. Doesn't that make sense when you think about it?
Well, we weren't far off, because anytime you have a Jeff Bagwell thing, then you have to talk about Frank Thomas, because their birthdays are the exact same day.
Oh, that's right.
And their numbers are pretty much the same, too.
Yeah, so that's good. So Bagwell has driven in Biggio. I love that kind of question. I have other ones.
Any
like
more
that.
Brain busters?
Why, yes. Yes, I do. You want more? No, you don't want more. Because I got one.
Wait, I got another one. Right. Luis Robert Jr. and Eloy Jimenez.
I was going to say Adam Eaton and Jose Abreu. No.
There it is. A lot of Bagwell and Biggio out there. Rosen Bench is a fun one. Trammell and Whitaker. Longtime teammates. Chipper and Andrew Jones. Those are good guesses out there.
Ooh, Chipper and Andrew. That's a good one.
That's real
call.
Good. Jeter and Bernie Williams. Right. Those kind of things. But it's Biggio and Bagwell.
I was going to guess, I guess they haven't been together long enough, but I was going to guess Betts and Freeman.
Oh, yeah, not long enough. But man, you want the football version? I can give you the answer on the other side. Here's the football version. What tight end caught the most touchdown receptions from the same quarterback?
Cat Boso.
think about it.
Speaking of quarterbacks,
yeah,
one of them made a statement. Speaks.
Oh, good.
Is he the answer to the trivia question?
He's not. But the record that these guys broke was by Drew Bledsoe and Ben Coates. That was second place. Most touchdowns by one tight end from one quarterback.
Considering your screed against Tom Brady earlier this week, I think you're going to enjoy his statement.
I look forward to it.
It's next on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Good performance all the way around. Maybe Ben Johnson will at least crack a smile at some point here in the last 4.5 minutes.
Who do you think smiles first? Would it be him or Vic Fangio this year? Who's going first?
He's very stoic right now. He's still very focused. He's not calling plays. He's just over there saying, let's keep him. Let's lock him in. Doesn't want to show anybody. He's got a poker face going, KB.
I hope he can enjoy it. I mean, right? The guy's worked hard to get here. First head coach him, and that's special.
Shotty got his first win last week, and Ben will get his first today.
Shotty, your guy.
I mean, look, I lost it a little bit as I was watching Tom Brady, because I'd also been reading and thinking about it. Diana Russini with a great piece on The Athletic the other day about the whole Brady thing and just the arrogance of thinking that it's okay for him to be all of these things at the same time. The idea, the unreality that he can be absolutely everything at the same time. And employers are, of course, letting him do that.
Yeah, so far it seems to be the case. And we'll get back to him in a minute. Couple things.
Yes.
Because there was someone in the chat that was like, how dare you say that about Jeff Bagwell and Frank Thomas? No, sir. They're statistically like the same player. Let me share it with you.
Okay.
Both born May 27th, 1968. Bagwell wore 79.9. Lifetime batting average, .297. 449 home runs, 1,529 RBIs, OPS of 948 for his career. Damn. And an OPS plus of 149. Frank Thomas, born May 27th, 1968. 73.8 WAR, batting average of 301, 521 home runs, 1,704 RBIs. Whew. On base percentage of 419, whew, Bagwell's is 409. Lifetime OPS, 974.
Wow.
OPS plus, 156. They're statistically the same player.
Boy, Frank Thomas was good. My goodness.
Yeah.
Those numbers
are really sick.
Sweet Jesus.
Before we get to Tom, you had a trivia question. We would like to try and answer it.
So the football version of the baseball question, always to me, what tight end caught the most touchdown passes from a single quarterback? The record used to be Drew Bledsoe to Ben Coates.
Alex, we're going to let you answer first.
Because Alex nodded his head when I asked it.
I feel like we were all kind of on the same page. It has to be Antonio Gates and Phillip Rivers, right?
51 touchdowns. That is the answer.
Right. You're right.
Gates from Rivers.
How far away are Mahomes and Kelsey?
Boy, that's a great question.
At
because doesn't Kelce have 80 touchdowns in his career or something like that?
Yeah.
And some of them are Alex Smith. And
I wonder, this is from a couple years ago, I wonder if they have passed it. I'll look. Another texter wondered about Brady and Gronk. Yeah, it's from my
Brady and Gronk, they had Aaron Hernandez there forever.
What's the number for Gates and
51. Mahomes touchdown.
Aaron Hernandez is not playing anymore.
Mm-hmm. He was for a while.
I don't know. I'll look it up. We'll find it.
They have 57 touchdowns together.
Who, Mahomes and Kelce?
Yeah.
That's your new answer, everybody.
All right. That's
all right. Got that. Let me change that over here in the trivia file. That's good. That's
trivia file.
I have a trivia file.
For all you trivia files out there, hope you weren't too disappointed with that segment.
I don't think they should be. We got it now.
He's not allowed to host categories anymore.
Oh, don't worry, because he's not.
Oh, boy, because I've been disgraced. I got disgraced last week.
Yeah.
Tanny's hosting categories tomorrow. And not on its usual channel.
Yeah, we'll be on tomorrow from
according
10
to Stat Muse, it's 95 touchdowns from Antonio Gates between Antonio Gates and Phillip Rivers.
No.
I could. Maybe it's wrong, but they played together 16 years.
Yeah, Stat Muse might have it wrong.
What do we trust, Stat Muse or your Google Doc over there? Or your trivia file?
It's an Evernote note. It's what it is. Okay. So I might be right.
You're probably right. Antonio Gates had 116 total touchdowns.
Okay, but he had a lot of quarterbacks there. Rivers to
it's
Gates.
Two, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, 89 touchdowns. The quarterback and tight end, 89 touchdowns. So it's Rivers to Gates.
Okay.
So I had it right. It's Rivers to Gates. I just had the number wrong.
All
there
right.
you go.
Well, good.
Thank you.
This is from Tom Brady.
I'm right.
He published on his entry into his newsletter, Do Your Job, quote, "I love football. At its core, it is a game of principles. And with all the success it has given me, I feel I have a moral and ethical duty to the sport, which is why the point where my roles in it intersect is not actually a point of conflict, despite what the paranoid and distrustful might believe. Rather, it's the place from which my ethical duty emerges to grow, evolve, and improve the game that has given me everything."
Wow. His moral and ethical duty to the sport, folks.
I think that's a strange way to talk about it. Like, his love for the game clearly comes through.
Right.
And you can learn a lot from listening to Tom Brady talk about the game. I think he's better outside of the game talking about the game, like him sitting down with Colin Cowherd,
he's been great,
or him on the OT this past week. I thought he was really, really strong.
And sometimes it comes into the game. I thought him talking about difficult coaching and working with Bill in the context of Caleb and Ben Johnson was great the other day.
He just doesn't want to acknowledge that this is a conflict of interest. It is clearly a conflict of interest.
He's claiming that his moral and ethical compass, his moral and ethical duty to the sport, trumps any sort of partisan feelings as an owner of a franchise.
Here's what I would say.
And maybe that's true in his mind, in his own narcissistic mind for now.
His motives may not be to be in conflict because of all of the things that he stated in the statement. But the truth is that it is a conflict.
Yeah.
And people are pointing that part out.
Wow.
So he might believe, like, I'm not doing anything wrong. Like, I just love the game and I want to be around it and whatever. And I get that.
And the paranoid and the distrustful.
Yeah, it's some weird language for sure. Language that we have become accustomed to.
I don't know how anybody could be distrustful of Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Yeah, considering that he has been investigated by the league multiple times on multiple fronts, on multiple teams for doing stuff that's not legal.
Did you know that his old buddy Alex Guerrero, who's his co-founder of TB12, he works for the Raiders now? Do you know he works for the Raiders?
I did not know that.
Me neither. I hadn't known that until yesterday.
Are you sure? Did you find that on Stat Muse?
No, I 100% am sure that Alex Guerrero works for the Raiders.
Is he coming by Circa? Or?
I'll invite him.
All right.
I don't think the lobster corn dogs would fit into the health plan of the TB12 method.
There's no way that fits. Not
more for us. More for us then.
Our buddy Dude. Alex Brown is on a boat, and you can be on the boat with him.
Lawrence, I'm picturing us eating lobster corn dogs in the water while watching football, and it's very enjoyable.
It's 6:30 in the morning, because that's when that first game starts.
Let's go.
Alex Brown is going to join us to tell you how you can be on a boat with him and Rex and Urlacher and other Bears people. Next, here on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.